Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call tonight's meeting to order. It's October 27th, and I'm asking if you'd all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as the City Council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Again, I'd like to welcome everyone and move to item 1D, which is public input. Is there anyone here tonight who'd like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand. I'll give you up to 5 minutes. Yeah, I have one here in the back. Mark?
I have a couple topics tonight. My name is Mark Spohr. I live at 420 North 9th. First topic is the street sweeping. In my opinion, our utilization of street sweeping in our city has been lacking. It's been a couple of years since some of the streets in my neighborhood have been swept. And of course, this time of year, we should be out sweeping due to the falling leaves to keep it from plugging our, it's not a wastewater system, what do you call it?
Stormwater.
Stormwater system, thank you. But also, we need to be out. A couple years ago, we overlaid our roads. And since then, we've had loose gravel on our streets. And we need, that's not only not good looking aesthetically, but it's dangerous. I actually saw a young lady in my neighborhood go to board a bus, run to the bus, stop before the bus, and slide out on the gravel. What a reason to run for City Council. But that really got to me. And the street sweeper, I saw two today, so you tipped your hat. I'm encouraged by that. But a lot of times they'll go by and they're not picking up the gravel. They'll get the leaves and other stuff. So I'm asking that we look at this and try to do better. And I look forward to a more robust street sweeping activity in our city. The second topic I have relates to the fire department. And of course, we're on a May 1st, 2026 path to be in our own fire department. I don't have the insider knowledge that you all have, but I'm trying to keep up with what's going on. We have one person that did the pump test on the city fire trucks. We have somebody else that's looking to hire the fire chief, with the city looking to hire the assistant chief. We have somebody putting together reports on what we need to do to station two to get that ready. And now I see on the agenda we have a Mike Gans who's going to give us an update. Hope he can put this all together for me. But I do have three specific things I would like to cover during this update. One, as was posted by a city council person on Facebook, is we're going to start training on the city fire equipment on December 1st. I would like to discuss you all with your update person if that's feasible. Two, I would like to know if the report that the architect slash engineering firm did for station two is ready and accessible to the public. And three, I would still like to know if that May 1st date, now that we've heard that hiring the chief is 100 days out, if that May 1st date is feasible. And if it's not, it's not too late to start taking action and making arrangements for fire coverage for the city. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the City Council tonight? Okay, I'll move to item 1E, which is roll call. Councilman Barnes is on duty, and he said he's going to be late to this meeting. He had some business that he was attending to in Lynd, so he's probably on his way. I'd entertain a motion to excuse Councilman Barnes.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Councilman Snyder is asked to be excused. He has a health scenario going on, and I wondered if the council would like to excuse Councilman Snyder.
I'll make a motion to excuse Mark.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And the last council member absent tonight is Danae Valdez. Danae Valdez asked me to read this letter. Dear Mayor Logan, I'm writing to formally resign from my position as position number 5 on the Othello City Council, effective today, October 27, 2025. This decision did not come easily, as it has been an honor to serve the residents of the Othello community and work alongside dedicated colleagues and city staff. However, after careful consideration, I've determined that it is in the best interest of myself and my family to step down at this time due to personal obligations. I remain proud of what we've accomplished together, and I'm confident in the continued progress of our city. I'm committed to ensuring a smooth transition and will provide any assistance necessary during this period. Thank you again for the opportunity to serve. It's been a privilege. Sincerely, Danae Valdez, position number 5, Othello City Council. So the City Council, when they have a position, when someone resigns, we have a process that we go through, that we advertise, interview, and then select a replacement. So the city will be going through that process, and we will be putting out an advertisement, and subsequently the interviews and the selection of a new counselor. So now I'd like to move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight.
I make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to item 3, consent agenda.
I make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to item 4A on our current business, and that is an update on our legislative agenda. And tonight we have with us our federal lobbyist, John Colton. John.
Thank you, Mayor. Hello, Council. Good to see you. And do we have a slide deck? Okay. All right. I'm trying to think of what to filibuster. I won't filibuster about a wonderful baseball team that didn't quite make it. Too soon for the next 20 years. Let's see. Seahawks are going to win this week. I'm not very good at filibustering, so. Gina, Councilwoman, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Yes. Okay.
How are you?
You know, pretty good.
How are the Kraken?
They're doing okay. Better. I like how you pivoted. That's a very good idea. So since the last time I was in the chamber, we were Colton Consulting. I've since brought on a business partner, Kyla Skerich Blair. She was the chief of staff at the Washington State Department of Commerce, worked for Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, worked for Representative Mia Gregerson, and was the deputy state director for Patty Murray. So she came on board. She's now my business partner. We rebranded, and now we are Capital Path Consulting. So that is the change. Slide. All right, see all these happy individuals here on this picture? I can tell you none of them are smiling right now, but I wanted to give you an update on the federal shutdown. You see we're at day 27. This is second longest shutdown in US history. We are not doing well. I would love to say we're gonna see something happen in the next week, but the president, of course, is overseas doing business with the Chinese president, talking about tariffs and other things important to the country. So we're kind of, we've got at least another week. We're gonna be going through this. Slide, please. So I'm sure all of you have been tracking, but if you have not, what are we arguing about? So right now, Republicans have asked for a clean continuing resolution. It was originally a 7-week proposal. And what Republicans wanted to do was write just a little bit more time to write the appropriations bills. Democrats did not want to lose an opportunity to extend the ACA tax credits, also known as Obamacare. And so that is the argument right now. I think Democrats have a lot of concerns on increasing premiums. I think that's gonna be on the next slide, but I would just say that the Senate has tried 12 times, not successful any of those times. So next slide. You can see that there are a lot of federal employees through various agencies that will not be receiving a paycheck, very notably active duty military. You will see that there have been a lot of layoffs, air traffic controllers, also a concern, a concern for everyone. Slide. We're about to see services for SNAP, WIC, an ACA open enrollment. We're gonna see a financial, financial impact there. The argument right now, like I was saying, that Democrats are making is without the enhanced or extended subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, you're gonna see your premiums go up 15 to 21%. I think that's probably, that number, of course, fluctuates depending on your insurance plan. What we've seen is, this is Democrats' position. Republicans have, of course, many have spoken out for keeping the subsidies with some changes. I think there's some frustration that there are some high-income individuals receiving the subsidies that they do not believe they should. You also see there's some individuals that are enrolled in the ACA that are not receiving healthcare insurance. So it's costing the taxpayer dollars. And I think they're really trying to firm up the program. But of course you do have others that are adamantly against the subsidies. So we'll see where Republicans decide to be. But once they figure that out, I think that's when they're gonna send their first proposal to Democrats. So stay tuned. And then of course, locally, some of the impacts. You see, agencies like USDA, FSA, USDRD, SNAP, NRCS, Bureau of Reclamation, especially a lot of those projects important to the Columbia Basin project, that will be affected right now. You see that approvals are delayed, work suspended, and then communication with the agencies, that's also been an issue, as well as payments. Slide. So let's talk about some fun stuff now. We wanted to take a look at some of the conversations happening on our federal project agenda for FY26. I will say that last year with FY25, because of the full year continuing CR, we did not get our $1 million for our ASR project. However, through strategic advocacy of the city, we were able to go back to Representative Newhouse and we were able to get that $1 million back. In addition, Senator Patty Murray gave us $1.5 million for the rehabilitation / construction of a new fire station. So last year was not great, but this year is better. So those negotiations that I talked about with the shutdown and all of those things, Congress has to pass appropriations bills. If you hear something like full year CR, what that means is those projects that we got funding for, it's going to be the exact same situation that we saw in FY25, and we won't get the funding. So you can hear CR, continuing resolution, that's okay, right? That's just buying time and, you know, to be able to write the appropriations bills. If these appropriations bills don't pass, though, it'd be a lot of work for naught. However, the fire station is under the agriculture bill, which is very, very popular with both Republicans and Democrats. So it's pretty much been negotiated. So even if in a world where Congress gets to the place of a full year CR, there have been conversations that they will pass a few of the bills, one of which is agriculture. So again, trying to bring some good news. Slide. All right. So FY26 or 2026 federal advocacy priorities. The recommendation to the council, and of course, love to get everyone's feedback as we continue through this process. So this is just a draft, some thoughts. We talked about the water treatment plant, the public facilities upgrade, and then the SEDS. Slide, we'll go into all of these. So you are very familiar with the water treatment plant. We really don't need to spend a lot of time on this slide. This is not new, but please appreciate the pretty pictures we have there. Slide. So I think it's important for us to talk about our funding strategy. We are going to be, as soon as the grant opens again, we've talked about going after an FY27 Water Smart grant. I think that financial number might not be $5 million. It's kind of, Mayor, would you say it's kind of in flux? We're not sure if it's going to be on the lower or the higher end based on, obviously, the ability to pay of the program. The FY26 Interior Appropriations Bill, that's where our ASR money is at. That's $1 million. FY24, our WERDA funding authorization for $13 million. The shutdown, RIF, and some of the different restructuring of the federal government has delayed some of our interaction with the Army Corps of Engineers, which is who handles WERDA. We have been in contact with them regularly. I think they're just kind of, they're slow to respond. They've got some funding issues internally. So TBD, but we are memorialized within the bill. So that money is for us. We just have to work through the authorization process, which could be multiple years. So there's not a world in which we're just gonna get a $13 million check tomorrow. And then FY27, we talked about going after a $5 million earmark for the project, through the Army Corps of Engineers account. Through the Army Corps of Engineers, there's a lot of steps that you have to take. You have to get a capability study. You've got to, there's a lot of things you have to do. So stay tuned, but that has kind of risen to the top in terms of this is one of the priorities. So just wanna submit that as a recommendation. Slide. So right now, I think we have all talked about the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, also known as the SEDS. The reason why this is important, Adams County is currently not eligible for EDA money, Economic Development Administration. So there's these pots of money for things like public works and other projects that could benefit the city. We can't get that right now because we don't have an active SEDS. So we're currently working with EDA, which has been we're working with the EDA. We're getting there. We've got a funding issue right now where we have a study we've got to pay for, and we're kind of working on, ACDC is going through multiple options, but doing a really good job kind of trying to figure out the best way to fund this study. We'll just kind of leave it at that. Slide. Example of a great public works project. And we please socialize this slide deck for all the council members too, because I don't think they want me reading off that entire thing during the meeting. Slide. Public facility upgrades. We've talked about looking for $1 million in FY27 funding. This will support multiple pieces of upgrades, most importantly being HVAC system. Right now, we're kind of sifting through, you know, making recommendations on these multiple projects, deciding which would be the most compelling to the congressional delegation. So I would say the water treatment is probably number one. Public facility upgrades, it's a good project, but as long as these appropriations bills pass, the account that we got that funding from is the same account. And going to the federal delegation, you know, in consecutive years saying, hey, we want dollars for, you know, public facilities is, you know, maybe not gonna be as successful as it would for a water treatment plant. Slide. So every month we put together what's called a grants matrix for the city. Sarah's really good at working with our grants writer, submitting multiple grants. And what we do here is we take the name of the grant, prerequisites, what it takes to apply. I don't think this gets the whole thing there, but how much is in the funding bucket? You see max funding, local match, which of course is incredibly important to the council, published date, deadline, and all those kind of things. So we provide this to the city every month, and it gives you a 90-day window outlook in terms of, hey, these are the things that are coming up. We should really consider applying for these. Slide. Okay, this is our federal appropriations timeline, and I'll let you all read this probably on your off time. The thing to notice, though, is as we're in October, right now we're starting to do our finishing up our materials. We're trying to start outreach, but right now with the shutdown, congressional staff are not meeting with people in person. So it's going to be delayed just a little bit. But the goal is to be wrapped up by the end of December. And then in January, sometime between January and March, we take our annual trip to DC. That, I mean, given our appropriation success, I think it's a very worthwhile endeavor for us. I think also if we apply for a WaterSmart grant, might be a good idea to make that plug as well, because sometimes those grants can be political, right? That advocacy is super important. And again, I won't bore you with the appropriations process, but this is something we're gonna be advocating for up until May, and then we'll be monitoring, tracking, and then in August, we start it all over again. So there you go. I think that, oh, one more slide, really important one. There you go, thank you. So open up council members, mayor, for any questions, comments, concerns, moves for the mayors to make next year.
Thank you, John, that's really good.
Great, okay.
Appreciate the information.
Thank you all so much. And email, call, whenever you want, please. Thank you.
Our next agenda item is the McKinstry Energy Audit. Tonight we have with us Luke Cashman of McKinstry. And Luke, are you on the line, Luke? I don't have his phone number on mine.
Hello, can you hear me now?
There we go. Thank you, Luke.
Hi. So, just to make sure, if I share my screen, well, then will it work through there? Or do I need to ask for things to be brought up onto the screen?
You should be able to share.
Fantastic, thank you so much. My name is Luke Cashman. I work for McKinstry, and we are here to present the pricing that we've come up with for the City Hall of Othello HVAC improvements. And so we've done extensive study, and so this started with a diagnostic kind of study by Test and Balance team, as well as a service team member from McKinstry, kind of, and the controls contractor walk, just to make sure that we could determine what really needed to be done in order to fix the problem. And so the problem is that it's the heating deficiencies, where the office side of the building is not reaching temperature. And it was determined that also your air-cooled condensing unit is also very near its end of life. That's the picture here in the middle. And that all of your piping, you can see this is a filter for the water side, the heating hydronic loop. You have metal flex in that filter. You can also see where there's a lot of pinhole holes in the piping itself, the copper piping that goes throughout your building, that are currently plugged by dried up glycol. That gets into those tiny little holes and then it plugs them up. So that's why you're not seeing as many leaks. However, it would mean that it would be best to actually replace all of that piping. And so we looked at new VAV system. So the VAV boxes or squeeze boxes are what allows for the single air handler unit to deliver zone control to every office or office space, the room where you're in now, for example. And you would replace all of those VAV boxes, and we would put in ones that have hydronic coils attached to the box. When your building was first built, it had the radiant panels next to the windows. Since then, sometime in earlier, the 2000s, about sometime in the last 10 years, a lot of those, the piping to those was cut, and some hydronic coils were added in the system, but they weren't ducted very well. And then on top of that, you have electrolysis happening in the system, and you have air getting into the system. And so the air alone is the single biggest driver of why the inside of your pipes, your copper pipe piping has degraded over time to a point where you would really need to replace all of your piping. The existing boiler, however, is newer. And therefore we believe that we are very, very confident that after we clean it out, we can reuse the boiler itself, which saved on some of the expenses. VAV air handler unit, as well as that associated condenser unit that I just showed you in that other photo, that's operating an R22 refrigerant. And so that refrigerant you can no longer use, and just due to EPA rules and regulations. And so when you switch to an R32 low GWP refrigerant, which is EPA compliant today, the size of the new coil in that air handler unit would have to get bigger, as well as the ACCU roughly would be the same size, but that would mean new piping that goes from the new ACCU outside, air-cooled condensing unit, to make sure that your air conditioning would continue to work, and then a brand new air handler unit as well. Your BAS controls are Allerton today, and they're a version of Allerton today, although a slightly older one. And for this price, it would be an upgraded BAS control system, but we would be reusing the existing low voltage control wiring, because it's been determined that all of that is sufficient to be reused, and it's going to the right locations. Lastly, all the ceiling tiles for your drop ceilings would be replaced, but we'd be reusing the existing grid itself. And so the budget price, when I say budget, I mean that's a guaranteed maximum price to go all the way from the design of where we are today which includes, you know, these documents here, where we just took the PDFs and we made edits on the PDF itself instead of redrawing everything to save on cost. And in order to get that guaranteed maximum pricing from subcontractors, it would be the price that you see here would be to take these designs all the way to final design and, you know, final IFC for construction sets, order the equipment, and then actually install all of that piping and all that equipment in 2026. So, and that includes all the design, all of the CA, all of the equipment, all of the labor, all of the sales tax. There is also a little bit of project contingency in there. And that's kind of the all-in price. There's nothing left out of that price. So that, and when I say guaranteed max, I mean, McKinstry's operating procedure is that we take these to this level of design. We make sure we have enough information. And then because we're doing the design and we would be executing the construction, that's why we say that this is a guaranteed maximum price. And then one thing, because we have, because it's a part of our model, we also give energy savings. So annual utility savings of $8,511 saved. And that is about 30,000 kilowatt hours saved and 3,000 therms saved. Now I will say that these are a little bit conservative, not too much, but just a little bit conservative, only because we give a guarantee on the annual utility savings. One thing that we did when we talked about this was our, when we did our energy model, we actually talked to you know, the occupants of the building, your police staff, and specifically about what set points they want, and having that side of the building be 24/7 occupied. Naturally, if there's certain rooms or there's certain areas that, or there's more areas that don't have to be 24/7 at those specific set points, you could see those annual utility savings go up. Another reason why, I have other things that why these might not be as a reason why we got to this number, but I can go into that if you are interested in it. So this is the line for upgrading all of the HVAC and controls. Well, we reuse everything that we believe is advisable to be reused. And then this alternate, number one, is a true alternate. It's an either or scenario. So this would be to limit the scope to solely replacement of the existing VAV terminal units, as well as giving those new units new hydronic coils, and replacing all of the piping in the building. Just a new coil inside the new VAV, or inside the existing to remain air handler unit, just to cut back a little bit more. And then the existing boiler, just like before, would be newer and shall remain. And then we'd be reusing all of the existing low voltage control wiring. And then a sentence I forgot on there is that all the ceiling tiles would be replaced, but the existing grid would be reused. That is included in this alternate heating and controls only. So effectively, your air handler unit and your outdoor air-cooled condensing unit, those two together, well, the air cooled conditioning unit is your cooling, those would be left off, which is why we just call this heating and controls only. And that's just under 2 million. So effectively, I just want to come here and make sure that you guys can see this is the costs for this project. We've looked at, we've done a lot of due diligence on trying to make sure that we're including everything to ensure that when you have a budget that you're going for, that you, it's a good budget. It doesn't leave any surprises. We've worked really closely with Robin and Chon and Mayor Logan there. And we appreciate all the amount of time that it's been taking, the site visits and the, the studies that we've done to make sure that we know what the solution really is going to be. We are happy to present this as, you know, guaranteed max for 2026 pricing at this time. We're aware that, you know, there is not a current funding plan in place right at this moment, that it's being developed. So we are looking today for the city council to agree, you know, to of continuing forward to develop that funding plan. I'm going to pause there and see if there's any questions.
Council.
The 2.6 million, that price is good all the way through 26.
So with a slight caveat, with a slight asterisk, it is good for the next 30 days for all of 2026. What all that means is that, you know, 30 days from now, we would want to go back and make sure that that price is still good. We don't expect it to change dramatically, because when I went out for pricing, I told everybody to price it for any time in 2026. But 30 days from now, we don't know what, you know, legislative, you know, at the federal level or the state level, or supply chain issues come up. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. And so that's why we had to put some kind of bumper on that. I would not expect that price to change all that dramatically. But that is the bumper is on that guarantee. And what that means is, you know, let's say the funding plan, it moves forward in December, right? I'm just making this up just to for sake of my example here. It moves forward in December, and you're looking for, to get the new guaranteed max price. I simply go out and just make sure with my vendors that their pricing hasn't changed. And they go, yes, because my labor rates haven't changed, or and my equipment pricing is still the same. So therefore, that price has not changed. And we continue forward. Anytime that your funding proposal or plan moves ahead, I just kind of do a quick check with the same people and say, hey, it's the same exact plan as we had before. Please re-verify your pricing. And typically, it doesn't change that much at all.
More questions, Council? So going back to what you were asking is that the City Council agreed to let staff continue to develop its funding strategy? Luke?
Yes, that is correct.
Well, we do need to fix this system, so let's let staff continue to work on grants. I know you saw, John, one of the asks that we have is 1 million, and Sarah, you have also, oh, we also have a legislative ask at the state level for half a million, and you were looking at some other grants too.
Yes, and we are, I'm always keeping my ears to the ground and eyes to the ground and email, mostly email, for grants. And this project is working with your team has been awesome. It's a good system that you guys have. It's just unfortunate that the way that it went in from the get-go caused some of these problems. And they just festered over time to a point that it does have to be a bit more extensive with all that piping replacement. That is unfortunate, but I, you know, it's one of those things where we're always going to keep our ears to the ground for grants, different conferences, and working with my whole team to, if anybody has heard anything.
And Sarah, what were you, did you want?
Is this on? Oh. I do know there's one coming open the middle of November. I have not seen the NOFO yet on that one. Part of what we've run into is we don't either meet the population threshold or we don't meet the building threshold as far as a tier one or tier two, because the building is not over 20,000 square feet or over 50,000 square feet. So there are some options. Federal government is shut down, so some of the people that usually reply back have not replied back. We are working with some different agencies to try to find some federal funding. State funding, we do have the ask for $500,000 with our state funding, and just waiting to hear back from some people locally through Commerce once that grant opens November. We do know there's another one that opens in August. It's on a two-year cycle, so this year was not the cycle that it opens, but next year is. But there is not a lot unless we go the route of loan with partial grant forgiveness, which is usually between 15 and 25% is grant. The rest are low interest loan for government. So usually between 1.5 to 3% is, I think the highest I saw is 4.26 going on a loan rate, which you could do a 25-year loan on that one. Obviously, we'd like to find grant funding before we go that route, so.
Looking for a motion, council.
Motion to authorize staff to continue to develop the funding plan for the HVAC.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Luke, thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you, council. And forward to continue to work with you.
Next, I'd like to move to our hands and paws report. And with us, we have Carmen Durding and
Heather Reed.
Hillary?
Heather Reed.
Heather Reed, sorry, Heather Reed.
Short. Okay. All right. I have some paperwork for the council to pass around. It's just an oversight over of the topics that I'm covering today. Can I pass that? So my name's Heather. I am the shelter manager for Hands and Paws, the local animal shelter for the city of Othello. Alongside with the director, Carmen, and Officer Miller, we bring over 50 years of combined experience in animal welfare and shelter management and public safety. We are proud to serve the city of Othello under our new government contract, and I want to start by saying we are not here to compete with any other shelters. We are here to help solve a growing problem, which is the rising numbers of displaced pets and the strain it puts on public safety, community health, and city resources. Hands and Paws is a fear-free shelter focused on the health and safety of both animals and people. We care for lost and stray pets. We work closely with code enforcement to reunite them with their families, and handle bite cases with transparency and care. While we can't take owner surrenders right now, we do work hard to keep pets in their homes, offering resources, training support, and connections to area trainers. I recently became a certified dog trainer myself, and we plan to offer affordable community classes in the near future. We provide spay and neuter vouchers, hold vaccines, spay and neuter clinics, and are building a foster and volunteer programs that will launch when we get our permanent facility, when it's ready. Every decision that we make is guided by one goal: bridging the gap one paw at a time. At Hands and Paws, we believe every animal deserves love, care, and a place to call home. We work to bridge the gap between animals in need and the community that cares for them through education, volunteer programs, rescue support, and advocacy. Right now, we operate out of a temporary space that we share with the city shop. While we are doing everything that we can with what we have, our capacity to serve is very limited. Limited public access, limited volunteer space, and limited resources for the growing needs of our community. A permanent purpose-built facility would change that. It would allow us to respond faster to public safety issues like bite cases and dangerous strays, expand our spay-neuter and vaccination programs, reducing the future stray population and the city's costs. We'll launch full volunteer and foster programs to walk dogs, socialize animals, and support adoptions. Offer affordable community dog training, preventing behavior issues that often lead to a surrender. Council members, this is not about just saving animals. This is about reducing taxpayer costs and the city's costs, and lowering our shelter intake and improving public safety. Every animal we prevent from entering the shelter through prevention programs and services saves hundreds of dollars in care, frees up resources for emergencies, and reduces the city's long-term liability. For a few examples that I'll use, just a few months ago, we had Sita and Patricia, a Rottweiler and a German Shepherd that came to us through an abuse case. They were severely neglected. One was dangerously underweight. She had urine burns on her paws, and both were full of worms. At first, they were terrified. They were absolutely scared. And within 3 days, they were wagging their tails, being super happy. We got them both great and wonderful homes once they got off their court hold. So that was something really that we're really proud of. And then we have another one, Max, who came in as a bite case. And in most bite cases, it ends in euthanasia, unfortunately. But with this one and Officer Miller's advocacy, she helped the owners in finding a trainer, ensuring that the dog had met all the needs per code and per law. And he is now thriving with his family. He is safe and secured and no longer a threat to the community. And these aren't just happy endings. They're also proof of what is possible when a shelter has the right tools, space, and resources to get the job done. Hands and Paws is ready to be the city's long-term partner in animal welfare and public safety. We have the experience, the systems, and the vision to make this investment count. All we need is the right building to turn that vision into reality. And together, we can give the Othello Shelter a place not just for holding animals, but a hub for safety, education, and community connection. Do you guys have any other questions?
City Council? Okay.
Over a few of the numbers that we've done so far for Othello. This year, we've taken in 108 dogs. We've 97 of which were strays. We've seized one, and we've had 5 bite holds. Total outcome is we've had 43 adoptions, 29 return to owners, which is pretty impressive, and something we're really proud of. We're able to get those dogs back to their homes. We currently have 11 available dogs. We've euthanized 7, and 4 were lost. And part of that reason is because of the way the shelter is set up. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heather. Mm-hmm. Carmen. Moving along in our agenda, we'll now go to the Port of Othello on item 4D. And tonight we have Chris Fikes with us and Dina Witzke. Chris is the executive director of the Port of Othello, and Dina is a port commissioner.
Good evening. We're here tonight, we'll try not to take too much of your time real quickly. Just to address a couple of the things that were said at the last council meeting in regards to the port, specifically with the roundabout at 26 and Reynolds. I understand it was in connection with the annexation talk and everything, but the port was brought into it as far as it's on, you know, the port should pay for it. It's our, you know, it was stated that it was the port should pay for it. It's our problem. You know, we should just take care of it. We would like to just explain that we're one of 4 owners on the corners, as well as the city, who would benefit from a roundabout. the port, we're working with a developer, and some of you know who it is, and for a couple of years, they needed the roundabout to come there so that they could bring a grocery store, restaurants, hotels, and lots of housing that Othello needs. When the roundabout didn't happen or couldn't happen, his customer, he was the developer. He had customers who, you know, if we could have just had something in writing, he said, that said the roundabout is coming in 2 years, 3 years, whatever, they in turn would have put down money with him to purchase the land so he can in turn purchase it from us to bring this development there. That development, you know, would serve us, granted, that was stated as well, that, you know, it's our issue because the port would benefit from it. That is very true. We would get to sell our land one time for $2.8 million. We're asking for $40,000 an acre for 70 acres. We would, in turn, like I said, get $2.8 million. The roundabout is, we keep getting different numbers, is anywhere from, you know, $3 to $3.5 million. So, again, I wanted to set the record straight that, you know, we're not in the business to make millions and millions of dollars. We're here to serve Othello, make it better, make Adams County better, everything. But we can't also sell it for less than what we're going to build a roundabout for. So we would like the city's help. Mayor Logan and I have chatted. He came to me, and we've talked about looking for some funding, grant funding, you know, working with a consultant, et cetera, to try to get this roundabout to come in to benefit everyone involved. The developer, he gave me some numbers, and I brought a couple extras if anybody would like to see them. But, you know, this was a study he had done. But over the next 30 years after the project or development was complete, the community, the port would get the $2.8 million up front, but the community would benefit over $70 million for the city, the schools, you know, just everyone in general, for the whole community would benefit over $70 million in that 30 years. And like I said, I have some papers if anybody would like to look at them. But so I just wanted to, like I said, set the record straight on that. Secondly, the other part of it would be, like I said, we would still like to partner with the city if everyone would be on board for it. We had talked, we've talked about getting some grant funding to do the construction. If we had a consultant that we can get the traffic impact study done, some of the initial stuff just to get it started. But like I said, it was also mentioned during that last council meeting that it wouldn't be a good idea to partner with the port because we might pull out again like we've done in the past. We're curious. We would like some clarification on what the port has pulled out of with the city or in a joint collaboration with the port in the past. I think that's mostly what I have. And like I said, I do have that developer. I spoke with him today. He's still interested in coming here. I know he's kind of on the back burner now because that roundabout wasn't coming, but we've talked to legislators, we've talked to DOT. We've had Zoom meetings with them. We went and saw him in person, and we're kind of at that point where DOT says we're down to three options. One is wait for it to happen, which he said might be 2 years, might be 10 years, might be 20 years, but it will come someday. The second plan would be we can go out, we, the city, the port, whoever, go out and find the funding and then have it built as long as we do it to DOT specifications, which that's a better option than waiting. Or the third option would be go out and find the grant funding, turn it over to DOT, and they'll build it themselves. That's how they built the one, if anybody's familiar with, over there on White Trail Road, Highway 28 on the way to Wenatchee over there, just west of Quincy. I was told that's what Grant County went out and just got the funding and said, here, DOT, build it for us, and they built it for them. So, again, if Ms. Commissioner, have any questions?
I just have to say that I was online listening to the last week, and was things were brought up, like if we go in with the port again and they pull out again, and then someone else said the port needs to do their job, and then someone goes, they need to go to the legislature and do that. We have done everything. We've gotten to the point now we're just going to get the piping purchased, got bids out for that, try to make it more shovel ready than what it is now. We'd kind of given up on the roundabout because we have done everything possible. We had Joe Wynn come from the Washington Commerce. He came like, what's the big deal? Let's get this done. He hasn't been able to. I mean, we've worked really hard to try to get this. And so it was really heartening for me to be listening. And then everybody that you guys had here last week was probably the biggest you'll ever have, or you've ever had, or will ever have. And they all clapped because you said the port needs to do their job. So that was really hard for me because we've worked really hard to try to get this. And like you, Angel, I didn't walk over the railroad tracks to come into town. I walked over the canal and Highway 26 because I lived out at Rodeo Lake. And I love this town. I was born in Othello Hospital. I love it so much. I don't think that part is like getting way out of town. And I love the idea, Gina, of having a walkover. I mean, that would be awesome. And I don't know if you guys realize there is not one gas station on the right-hand side of the road from Ellensburg to Pullman. That would be it. And there was a gas station ready to sign, ready to do it. If all we had to do is say, yes, there's gonna be a roundabout there. And they already messed up the roundabout on First Street. How many years ago? They had to redo that one. So I think that that one is slowing the traffic down enough. Maybe it's gonna help, or are they just gonna hit the pedal to the metal and try to make up the time it took to get around that roundabout? So anyway, I just wanted to say that the port has done everything we can try to get that roundabout. So if you guys have any great ideas, I would love to work together. I mean, I don't want to be, well, the city said this, or the port did this, or, you know, it'd be great to work together and try to figure out how we could do that. And also, it's not the amount of accidents that happen there, it's deaths, which is really sad. We've just had two accidents out there in this last week, but oh, nobody died, so that doesn't count as let's put a roundabout in.
Right, we were told at a conference we were just at this last week that they need another 5 to 8 more deaths, and then that'll bump it up.
Then that would get it.
But it's like, why do we have to have 5 or 8 more people die? Why can't we do something sooner?
Yeah.
You know, it's a safety thing. I mean, it's just safety for Othello and Adams County and the highway and all the Pullman kids going back and forth and whatever they've got, so.
And we all drive around, try to go a different way, especially between 2:30 and 3:30. You don't want to go that way, you know. And I'm sure you know, Officer Barnes, that that's a horrible intersection as soon as school gets out. And it's got three schools, CBHA. I mean, it needs a roundabout. So anyway, thank you. And let's partner, let's, you know, try to do something together and work together. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Council, do you have any questions for the port?
I have some statements, not questions. You asked about, name one project that you pulled out of. How about the soccer fields in the stadium?
Okay, yeah.
Pulled out of that one.
That when you're done,
yeah.
Go ahead.
The $70 million that you're talking about, that's $70 million in construction, not tax dollars that's coming to the city of Othello.
No, that's tax dollars.
Yeah.
How are you coming up with $70 million?
You know,
that's a lot of tax money.
I apologize, but I just got the numbers
from. That's in 30 years.
That's over 30 years, and that's only showing a 1% increase per year for the.
Is that a valuation?
Yes.
Like I said, you're saying that there would be a valuation of $70 million on that property that you guys own.
I apologize.
For the city.
That would be taxable.
And like the developer said, if we'd like to call him, he's sitting by his phone. We can call. He can tell you where he got it.
Slow down. Slow down.
These are not my numbers. These are numbers that were given.
The $70 million represents.
It's on the paper right there.
A valuation of the property once it's developed.
That's what's on the paper there, yes.
So that's what would be.
And it's showing a 1% increase.
That's what would be taxable.
I think.
Well, okay, even if it's not, John.
I think we need to slow down here. Obviously, this information came from a third party.
Right,
if we had additional questions regarding how these numbers were generated, we probably need to contact that third party. You're being pressed for
answers
that you do not have, and I understand that.
Right. He's by his phone right now. We can have him call in. Just Mr. Cashman did. He would be happy to do it right now if I just make a quick text.
The way I see it,
if you bring the numbers, you should be able to defend them.
You want city participation. There was 88 grand for the study, I believe. I think that's what we had last time on that paper.
Mm-hmm. 75.
So you want city, 75?
But anyway.
Whatever.
Going through.
So you want city participation so you can sell your property. So in the long run, at $70 million, we're going to get taxes off that, right?
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm giving a lot to the city. There's tax money coming into the city. I'm not asking for any participation from the city.
So you know what? We've had that land for so many years. Let it sit.
It doesn't matter how many years you have it for, that you wait till the roundabout goes in.
Right. I was.
Let the state, I mean, let the state put it in.
And I, you know, that's great.
It was on their schedule before. That's what I said the last meeting.
It's never been.
Yeah, when we went to DOT, it wasn't.
A couple of years ago, and they said they were going to do the one on First, Reynolds, and 17.
Yeah, we went and sat at DOT, and we looked him right in the eye, took him out to lunch, and he said, that's not even on the radar.
The reason it's not in the radar, because we're $15 billion in the hole, the state is. That's why they took a lot of stuff off.
Right, that's why.
Because over $15 billion in the hole doesn't mean that we as a city have to participate on that so you can sell your property. Well, if we work that way, well, shoot, let's do it for everybody so they can.
And that's the thing. We were approached to say, hey, do you guys want to work with us on this?
Right.
We had already said, no, we're done.
Well, that's another thing. You guys want to sell the property. You want another builder to come over here, and you want to do their work. I just put in $400,000 of sewer from 4th all the way to Broadway. Did anybody help me on that? No. I put it in myself.
But you're doing.
And it's not in my land. Well, that's why I say, why should we participate?
We can't.
But you're a private individual. We have rules and things we have to work within. So, and we're not asking for the city to pay for half of it. We're asking the city to pay for a part of a study so that we can go get the grants to do the rest of it. And like I said, we were approached. We didn't go to someone else. Someone came to us.
How much money are you sitting on right now? What do you have in your bank account?
About 3.6 million.
All right, forget it.
I have a question.
Don't even ask.
Has the Port of Othello reached out to the Washington Traffic Safety Commission regarding traffic studies, or to assist in funding a study and developing a roundabout project, or to put pressure on the legislative body to provide funding priorities for that project?
Not directly to them. We're working with some other, and a consultant and some other people to help us get to where we need to be for that, to answer your
question.
I recommend
you reach out to these other commissions to provide pressure to the legislative bodies to assist you in getting that project raising the priority level to be accomplished sooner.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
But more to your question
here, we have $3.6 million in the bank. We're also building a $7 million water tower out at Bruce to help with the county. I get that's not city, but I'm just telling you, we have other projects we're doing. We're not just sitting on it there and watching a pile of money just sit there. You know, we just bought new buildings out at the airport. We built a new hangar a couple of years ago and have it rented out. Granted, again, that's not the city, but we're the Port of Othello. We're not the city of Othello. You guys are the city of Othello. We're doing projects. We're trying to do as much as we can. There's so much red tape and hoops we got to jump through and everything else, but we're trying. We're working hard. Like I said, we were approached to do something there. We said we'd like to do it together. If you guys don't want to, you don't want to. I mean, I'm not going to twist anybody's
arm.
It's
done. We'll just go back to getting things shovel ready.
But real quick, I just want to address the soccer complex. Yeah. That one, the city pulled out before this county or the port did, because the city grant writer at the time turned in the grant, wasn't you, different grant writer, turned it in a week late and it was thrown in the trash. So the city said, we cannot hold up our end of the bargain. So what's the port going to do? Same thing. If we had told you, we can't hold up our part of the bargain.
You're the only one.
You guys would have said, go away.
Okay. So have you reached out to the county? This is going to benefit the county way more than it benefits the city.
What's that, the roundabout you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have talked with the county, right.
What was the county's response?
The county, they said the same problem, but we don't have any money and we don't have this and we don't have that. That's what they said. But when we reached out to Curb said, it was discussed, are we going to be the lead? Is the city the lead? Curb, if you're all familiar with Curb, the Community Economic Revitalization Board, said this will benefit the city more. The city needs to be the lead. If the port wants to help, wonderful. And we said, wonderful. We would love to help. We would love to partner with you guys.
So but here's another thing. You know, this is a project that you say is going to bring $70 million into the city. This project's got to be worth billions then. Has to be. And so you've got a developer that wants to develop on your property, but yet he don't want to put in $3 million he's got a $1 billion project there, but he doesn't want to put $3 million in for a roundabout. That roundabout, the only thing that sounds like to me is it's holding up you guys selling property.
And we've had it for so many years. We're just going to keep it, not worry about it.
So if he wants to put a $1 billion project in there, he's going to let $3 million hold him up on it?
Again, yeah, I'm more than happy to call him and have him chat with you guys if you'd like to do that or at another meeting.
It's not worth it. They're not interested, so be done.
They get taxes off $7 million.
Yeah.
I asked that, and he said, no, that's $70 million that's coming into the city. That's what I said.
Well, that's $70 million over 30 years.
That's 30 years.
Yeah, that's $2 million. It's $2 million starting out and increases up to $2.7 million at year 30. So it's it's a $2 to $2.7 million a year at a 1% increase. So it's $70 million total, but it's not $70 million for the...
Yeah, that's for the whole community. That's schools and everybody.
Is that what is directly going to go to the city, or is that what the county is going to collect in property taxes?
It's city property.
The city would be $25,900,000. The county would be $10 million, and the schools would be $34 million. But you add it together, and it's over 70. I didn't do all the math, but...
Yeah, anyway.
It's not 70 million.
We don't need to sit and argue.
It's 25 million to the city.
$25 million to the city. $26 million.
Over 30 years.
$25.9 over 30 years.
Thank you, Chris and Dina. Now let's move to item 4E, which is approval of a facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Othello Holiday Committee. And we have with us our Park and Rec Coordinator, Valerie Hernandez. Go ahead, Valerie.
Hello, good evening, Council. The Othello Holiday Committee is requesting approval to use the City Hall property for their 7th annual holiday event, A Christmas Miracle on Main Street, with the theme being Christmas in the Country. The event is scheduled for Saturday, December 6th from noon to 7 p.m. and will feature a Christmas festival and a parade. The celebration will include food vendors, music, a tree lighting ceremony, holiday performances, and children's craft activities. If all goes as planned, new additions this year include a Christmas tree sale and a petting zoo area. City assistance will include police escort, road barricades, and traffic cones as needed prior to the start of the event. Vendors will be assigned to a designed and designated area near City Hall, equipped with electrical access and a mapped out layout. To ensure a smooth setup and operation, 3 event staff members will be on site to assist logistics and address any issues that may arise. Setup begins at 8 a.m. for the committee at City Hall on the day of the event. Parade check-in begins at 3:30 p.m. on 13th Avenue. The parade will proceed down Main Street and conclude at 3rd Avenue around 5 p.m. Cleanup will take place immediately following the tree lighting ceremony at approximately 7 p.m. At that time, fireworks will be dispersed at the Lions Complex right afterwards. So during that time, we'll have the cleanup and our staff working together to get everything set and done on time. We're hoping to be off site by 9 p.m. The event fee is $242.25. Selected additional items total in $1,061.50 with a damage deposit of $530.50. Staff recommends that the City Council approve the facility use agreement authorizing use of city property for a Christmas miracle on Main Street, December 6th.
Council?
Motion to approve the facility use agreement between the City of Othello and the Holiday Committee for a Miracle on Main Street special event open to the public on Saturday, December 6th, 2025.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'd like to move to our 2026 tourism funding. And Spencer, you're here to give us an update.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is an annual process that we go through. It's part of our regular budget. Tonight, what I have to discuss with you is the recommendation of an allocation of our tourism dollars that we have. Just to back up a little bit, our tourism dollars are dollars that are collected. It's a tax that's collected by hotels. It's sent up to the state, and we get a portion of that. and we collect that money in a specific fund because it's a special revenue. It's a restricted revenue. It has a very specific purpose. And the purpose is it's to be used for events or organizations that promote tourism in the within the city of Othello. So it brings people from outside the city to inside the city. And we get X dollars every year and, or, you know, changing amount, but we get X dollars every year. And budgeting these dollars is a little bit different than budgeting any other city funds. The budgeting of these dollars start with a lodging tax advisory committee made up of a council person, two people representing the payers of the tax, so the hotel industry, and two people representing the users of this money, so these organizations. And the goal is to come together with whoever we can get, and we start looking at these organizations, their requests, the available dollars, and we start working through the money. At the conclusion of that meeting, I then bring that recommendation to you as the city council, and it's up to you to say, yeah, no, here's something. Can you look at this little piece, and then the money's brought back to city council. The goal is to have the LTAC and the city council working together on that interest. With that, the chart that's before you is the recommendation for the $26. It's a little bit less than what we've had in the past. The last couple of years, we've had more money. We had a lot of money to use in the last couple of years, about two years. And so those organizations benefited in a huge way from that, and that's great. When we saw such a big increase in those dollars, I let the organizations know at the time that this is a bigger than usual increase, and so it might not last forever. But it's coming down just a little bit. Last year we had just under 100,000, and this year it's just under 80,000, about $20,000, $21,000 difference in funds that we use. One of the guiding directions from council in the past is to take $30,000 off the table just at the beginning, so that if then we allocate the rest of the dollars, then if something comes up during the year, we have other monies that you as council can use. If there's something else that comes up in March or April or who knows when, they can say, hey, this is what we're about and what we like to do. And if it's something that you as council want to do, then we have that ability. So really, that's the long and short of it. I have a member of the LTAC here also. Tammy Everett is here. If you have any specific questions about some of the back and forth, other than that, you know, if you have questions, great. If not, then I would just work this into our budget for the year.
Council?
Looks good to me.
You're okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, Spencer. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
As we move along, we're going to go next to our fire department update, and we have with us Michael Gantz. He is our city transition consultant to open up a new fire department May 1st. And Mike has an update.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Here to give you an update plan that we presented last summer, I guess, you know, July, August, right in there. And just as a little bit of a review, we put together a plan that was graduated into five different phases. So we're through phase one, and phase one was that assessment phase. So we brought on some independent evaluators, particularly with the apparatus and with the facility. So we are right on track, right? The third party mechanic has conducted some preliminary reviews on the apparatus. In particular, we've done pump tests on the two primary engines and one of the ladders. And he's continuing his process of going through and comparing them to the standards of what in the fire service were regulated by, and that's the NFPA, and to a certain extent, WSRB, right? Because that's one of those things that's gonna play into that rating, which the city will be coming up for a review here in the future. So we got the mechanic going through the apparatus. He's about halfway through that and we'll be continuing. And then the architect came in, they went through with their consultants and taking the direction from the city council, they have laid out a preliminary report which needs a little bit more rework in terms of refining and getting feedback from the city because as you may recall, what I took from that was you asked him to look at what are the basic needs of that facility and what are the long-term needs of that facility, and then giving you as the city the option of coming saying, this is what we want you to move forward with, and of course there's a costing piece to that that you get to make the choices on. So those are the two key components there. The other piece of phase one was we had identified that we needed to look at identify a level of service. We needed to look at a proposed budget. And another little piece of that was communications. So met with Spencer, the finance director, and we have worked on a proposed budget. We've identified a proposed level of service. So we've completed those two aspects of phase one as well. In addition, we've been meeting with city staff and in particular, police chief, assistant police chief, Dave and Aaron, and we are diving into the dispatch piece of it, the communication piece. Everything from a frequency to dispatch off of and operate off of to the ability for the dispatch center to take over the fire department dispatching, how we alert the personnel, how we communicate, how we, in the equipment that coincides with that, mobile radios, portable radios. We have been addressing all of those things in phase one. We are right on track. We have moved into phase two. Phase two, just as a reminder, was the going from assessment to continuing some of that assessment, doing any repairs that we, and identifying some repairs that we may need to do, but also the recruitment piece, recruitment and acquisition. In particular, recruitment. The city is now out for recruiting a fire chief, recruiting is out for an assistant chief, and then coming up in the next month or so, the recommendation that is to look at putting out a request for entry-level volunteer firefighters and lateral firefighters and starting that process. One of the key factors was, and so let me go back to that just real quick. The reason why we're trying to do that in the timing of phase two was, remember, in January, mid-January, we want to start phase three, which is the training piece of it. Getting the personnel that are going to serve your community trained up in terms of operating the apparatus, driving the apparatus, and then the firefighting components that are required. So that's why we're doing that. We're right on track with that as well. The other real important component of this was the facility in terms of getting into the facility, because you know as we're gearing up towards the apparatus and bringing on the personnel and that starting that training phase, you know, we wanted to have access to the facility and the apparatus. And as you're well aware of, we're now gonna have access to both of those. Well, with apparatus, we have probably access now, but December 1st, working in a cooperative way with the district, we're going to be taking over the facility, which means then IT can go in, they can start that whole phase of putting in the internet and the necessary components there to just to get start getting up and running. And so really, I just want to say, at least in my opinion, there's a lot of work to be done, but I feel like we're on track. So any questions for me?
City Council, do you have questions for?
No.
I would like to just say I have 40 years in the fire service. That last 20 of that was as a chief officer. I just finished up with 6.5 months with the city up north running their fire department. And that's been completed. So I've been working with city staff and we are actively engaged in putting this plan into place. Okay.
Mike, thank you. I really appreciate your help. He's been just a wealth of knowledge, helping the city move towards this May 1 startup date. And Mike continues to work on things that I'm not even aware of and then later find out. And that includes a volunteer explorer group. There's, among other things, the city's looking at implementing. But I just appreciate you coming tonight, Mike. Were you going to be around tomorrow then? Or, yeah, okay. Good. I'd like to have a fire committee meeting tomorrow to review the architect's recommendations. So, John, are you available?
After 4.
After 4. What time are you available?
After 7.
After 7 p.m.?
Okay. I can do that. If Mark's got issues physically, then me and Daryl can do it. I mean,
well, Daryl's 7.
I can do it at 7.
7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Your office?
City Hall. Yep.
All right.
Okay. All right. Let's now move to the homeless housing plan. And tonight we have with us our community development director, Ann Henning. Ann?
So this is just an informational item. I just wanted to be sure the council was aware that the county is working on this homeless housing plan. I have been involved. The draft is now prepared and will be going to the county commissioners at a public hearing November 12th. So I wanted you to have the plan, to see the PowerPoint that's going to be presented. I'll try to answer any questions if you have questions, but mostly this was just to make sure you're aware that this is happening.
Okay, thank you. We had scheduled a public hearing on the subdivision code. We're not quite ready to go live with that. We still have some more development work, so I'm going to continue that public hearing to November 24th, 2025. Next, I'd like to enter an executive session. Just a moment, I have something I need to read. Tonight, the City Council is going to go into executive session at 7:24 p.m. Under RCW 42.30.1101I to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency matters relating to agency enforcement actions, or to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency, the governing body, or a member acting in an official capacity is or is likely to become a party when public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. And so with that, I anticipate we will need 30 minutes. And after that, no action will be taken other than to finish the rest of the agenda, the unfinished business, our new business, and council reports. So staff, if you would please prepare the city council chambers. I need Spencer and Tanya to stay, Valerie and Robin, you guys can leave.